Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Taming Your Amygdala Brain-Based Strategies to Quiet the Anxious Mind by Catherine M. Pittman, PhD, is a practical psychology workbook about anxiety, fear, worry, and panic. Pittman is a clinical psychologist and psychology professor known for translating neuroscience into usable anxiety treatment concepts. This book presents anxiety through the role of the amygdala, the brain structure involved in detecting threat and initiating fight-flight-freeze reactions. Its purpose is not to offer a purely theoretical explanation of anxiety, but to help readers understand why anxious reactions can feel automatic, physical, and difficult to control. Drawing on neuroscience and cognitive behavioral therapy, the book explains how thoughts, triggers, habits, and bodily responses can activate fear circuits, then offer strategies for changing those patterns. It is positioned for people living with chronic worry, panic, phobias, emotional reactivity, or concentration difficulties, as well as clinicians who want clear language for explaining anxiety to clients. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the amygdala is presented as a rapid threat detector rather than a rational decision maker. A central idea in taming your amygdala is that anxiety often begins before deliberate reasoning has time to evaluate the situation. Pittman explains the amygdala as a fast-acting threat detection system that monitors sensory information and can launch the fight-flight-freeze response when it detects possible danger. This framing helps explain why anxiety can feel disproportionate, confusing, or resistant to reassurance. The anxious body may react as if a real threat is present, even when the thinking mind recognizes that the situation is safe. The value of this model is that it reduces moral judgment around anxiety. Readers are not treated as weak or irrational. They are shown how a protective brain system can become overactive or misdirected. The book uses this brain-based explanation to make anxiety more concrete. Physical symptoms, such as tension, racing heart, avoidance urges, and panic sensations can be understood as outputs of a defensive system rather than mysterious personal failures. That distinction matters because it points toward training and retraining rather than mere willpower. Secondly, readers are taught to identify triggers and stuck points that keep anxiety active. The workbook approach emphasizes recognizing the specific cues, situations, thoughts, and patterns that keep the amygdala on alert. Anxiety is not presented as one uniform experience. It can appear as chronic unease, what if thinking, phobic avoidance, panic, anger, or worry about social evaluation. By asking readers to identify triggers and stuck points, the book encourages a more precise map of anxiety. This is important because vague awareness usually produces vague coping. Someone who only knows that they feel anxious may respond with avoidance or distraction, while someone who sees the sequence from trigger to interpretation to body response can intervene earlier. Stuck points are especially important because anxiety often survives through repetition. The mind returns to the same feared outcome, the body rehearses the same alarm response, and avoidance prevents corrective experience. Pittman links this practical self-observation to brain science. The amygdala learns through association and repetition. Therefore, understanding personal trigger patterns is a first step toward changing the conditions that repeatedly signal danger. Thirdly, cognitive behavioral tools are used to reduce thoughts that alarm the amygdala, although the book highlights the amygdala. It does not treat anxiety as purely biological or beyond conscious influence. Pittman draws on cognitive behavioral principles to show how thoughts can intensify or calm fear responses. A key practical implication is that anxious thinking is not harmless mental background noise. ABA offers repeated catastrophic predictions, mental rehearsal of failure, and threat-focused attention can keep the amygdala activated even when no immediate danger exists. The book therefore encourages readers to notice and work with thoughts that frighten the brain. This does not mean simply forcing positive thinking or denying real problems. The more realistic goal is to interrupt patterns that continually signal danger and to build alternative interpretations that are accurate, usable, and less inflammatory. This approach connects the cortex, the part of the brain involved in planning, interpretation, and language, with the amygdala, which reacts quickly to perceived threat. The result is a practical bridge between insight and regulation. Readers learn that changing thought patterns can influence emotional intensity because thoughts themselves can function as threat cues. Fourthly, the book treats coping skills as brain retraining, not temporary comfort tactics. Taming Your Amygdala frames coping skills as methods for teaching the brain a different response to feared situations, sensations, and predictions. This distinction separates the book from advice that focuses only on immediate relief. Short-term comfort can reduce distress, but it can also strengthen avoidance if the person repeatedly escapes from every anxiety cue. Pittman instead emphasizes developing adaptive responses that prevent or reduce anxious thoughts and feelings over time. In a brain-based model, repeated practice matters because the amygdala learns from experience. If a person repeatedly approaches manageable challenges, notices bodily arousal without treating it as catastrophe, and uses more accurate interpretations, the threat system has opportunities to update. The workbook format supports this by turning concepts into exercises rather than leaving them as explanations. The aim is not to eliminate all fear, since fear is a normal survival response. The aim is to reduce false alarms and excessive reactions that limit functioning. This practical emphasis makes the book useful for readers who need structured steps, not only education about anxiety. Lastly, anxiety is connected to daily functioning, attention, anger, and relationships. The book broadens the discussion beyond classic symptoms, such as panic and worry, by showing how an activated threat system can affect concentration, behavior, and relationships. Anxiety can narrow attention toward possible danger, making it harder to focus on work, conversation, or ordinary tasks. It can also produce irritability or anger when the fight part of the defensive response becomes dominant. This matters because many people do not initially label these problems as anxiety. They may think they have poor discipline, weak concentration, or relationship conflict without recognizing that the brain is operating in a protective mode. Pittman shows that calming the anxious brain can therefore have practical effects beyond feeling less nervous. It can improve the ability to stay present, respond rather than react, and reduce outbursts that harm close relationships. This wider view is clinically useful because anxiety rarely remains confined to private thoughts. It influences decisions, avoidance, communication, and emotional availability. By addressing these functional consequences, the book positions anxiety management as a way to regain flexibility in everyday life. In conclusion, Taming Your Amygdala is best suited for readers who want a clear, structured explanation of anxiety that connects brain science with practical exercises. It may be especially useful for people who experience chronic worry, panic sensations, phobias, avoidance, stress-related irritability, or difficulty concentrating when anxious. Therapists may also find it helpful as a client-friendly resource because it gives accessible language for explaining why anxiety can feel automatic and physical. The main benefit is practical understanding. Readers learn to see anxiety as a trainable brain response shaped by triggers, associations, thoughts, and repeated coping patterns. Intellectually, the book offers a useful middle ground between neuroscience education and cognitive behavioral self-help. It does not rely only on reassurance, nor does it present the brain as fixed and unchangeable. Compared with many anxiety books, it stands out through its specific focus on the amygdala and its effort to teach the language of this threat system in plain terms. Its workbook format also differentiates it from more general discussions of anxious thinking. Because readers are prompted to identify their own triggers and practice adaptive responses, the book is not a substitute for professional care for severe anxiety, but it provides a credible, practical framework for understanding and reducing fear-based patterns. If you would like to support Katherine M. Pittman, PhD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.